Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Frankie.
And I'm Alex.
And together, we are FNA Van Life.
This is the podcast where every week we bring you news from the nomadic community or interviews with other nomads so that you can know what it's really like to live life on the road.
And this week, we have some awesome guests. We have the Bryles, we have Blake, and Aleha. How you guys doing today?
Hi.
Good. You nailed the name.
Yeah.
He was practicing.
I had to because, like, the last three I butchered. So, yeah, I'm on my game now. I'm ready.
We tell people it's like Aloha, but with an E at the end.
Oh, okay.
An E in the middle. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My own husband doesn't even know. Ladies and gentlemen, my husband doesn't know.
I didn't have to butcher it. He butchered it for me. I love that. It's awesome. So
that was impressive. That intro.
Thank you. We've done it once or twice. This is probably like almost episode 120. So
oh, my God.
We've got a couple under our belt. Yeah. And Paco always makes an appearance. So if you hear someone tap dancing or begging for food, that's him. So we're super excited because for the last like week or two, we've been hanging out with such a good group of nomads, including yourselves. So maybe usually we start way back at the beginning, but why don't you tell us about how you guys kind of got like linked up with this crew and like, you know, what's it been like caravanning down to Mexico?
We're currently with Devin and Bree. They're with Basically Nomads.
And I think they interviewed with you guys like a few days ago.
And also Nick and Allison, who are rolling with Ophelia online. And we got connected because of Devin and Bree. We met Devin and Bree in Oregon.
Yeah, we stayed in Bend. I guess we're going down the total history pipeline is we had a child about a year ago. And that put us in Bend. We stopped being nomadic for like 5 months while we had a child. So anyways, we were in Bend for a time with family when we had the baby. And it just so happened to be we followed Basically Nomads and only knew them online, but reached out because we knew they were coming through like our town. And ever since then, we've been talking Baja for like a year, and it's so crazy to see it actually like materialize.
Yeah. That's amazing. So what rig are you guys in? Let them know. And like, how did you get into this rig?
Yeah, so we are in a Class A RV or motorhome, as many people call it. We call it a Class A bus. Her name is Bay.
Ooh.
And that stands for, well, it used to
her
stand
full
for.
Name is Bayo, and I'll tell you why.
It used to be Bay. It stands for Blake, Aleha, and Everest.
I love it.
So it just worked out. And of course, we added the baby, so now it's Bayo. And Bayo in Spanish means.
Beautiful.
Whoa.
And she is pretty.
Yeah.
That's
she's
awesome.
Very pretty.
Actually, her. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, we're sitting in the lap of luxury right now. This is like the fanciest of the range.
Really don't be fooled. It's usually pretty a hot mess in here.
Yeah. I mean, two kids, you know, life gets a little wild on the road, and it is a small space. But this one's very big compared to ours. But, like, it's a small space in the general sense of, like, it's life on the road.
Yep.
You know, so a couple things move around, and it's a mess, right? And I can only imagine with the kids.
Two kids
and the space, like, per body, you guys are two humans, one dog.
Yeah.
We have seven people, well, not people on board, but we have three dogs and four humans. So, like, the per creature space is probably getting closer than you think.
Yeah.
With seven on
it. Like, basically, we have the same size rig.
Yeah. With the amount of beings that we have. Just
beings,
about.
Not creatures.
Yeah.
We are. But her name kind of has to do with the story of, like, the evolution of, like, when we got Bay. Because her name is Bay, Blake Aleha Everest, but then it later became Bayo.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of similar to like having to do the name change was like we didn't plan on having a second
baby.
Second baby. We had a long infertility journey even to have our first Everest. It was 4 years of doing infertility. So after we decided I quit my job so we could do this like more fashion traveling, or just being able to have more free time.
I just want to stop you there, and I want to say congratulations, because going through that whole experience must have been a very long journey.
Yeah.
And like, you know, a rewarding one once it happens, but like, you know, it's a difficult thing.
Yeah.
Go through. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was a head spin going from you can't have kids without assistance to we bought a bus and oops, we got pregnant.
We did all this, like we were selling the house, I quit my job, we bought a bus 4 days after we made the purchase, we found out we were pregnant.
Wow.
With Elia.
Let me ask you this, that's awesome. Do you think that quitting your job and, you know, buying the bus and doing something that you really want to do maybe took some stress away from, like, the realities of life?
That sounds kind of stressful.
It does. It does to me. It sounds like that, like, you're about to start this new life, this new chapter, this thing that you don't know what's going to happen. And I know that a lot of people talk about how, like, when you get more stress-free, then maybe the conception happens a lot easier.
Yeah, it's like you're not thinking about it, and it happens. It's kind of like success, you know? It's like when you're not trying to force it, it happens. I feel like the same goes for maybe having kids. I mean, who knows? Everyone's journey is so different. And we were certainly not trying for Elia. But we got her, and she's the best. I mean, that's awesome. You guys know her.
Yeah, we were at her first birthday.
Yeah, that's right.
Just met you guys, and we're at the first birthday. Like, we feel so lucky.
You guys are family now. Aww. You're stuck with us forever.
We're okay with that.
I mean, that could be a whole other discussion topic, because it was surreal having all these people we've met literally within weeks.
Yeah.
Filled in our bus, singing happy birthday to our little daughter, when that's never the case. It's usually like parents, close relatives,
cousins,
and it was such a unique experience. Obviously they wanted to be here, and we would have had everyone.
That's a testament to nomadic life.
Yeah,
though.
It was like no one experiences
so
this
quick. It's so different. Like,
yeah,
first birthdays are a big deal, and we didn't know anyone for more than 3 weeks in the room.
Yeah. Well,
I guess Deb and Bree, but even
we
like,
didn't know most people for more than a few weeks. We knew two groups out of like the five or six that were in here. And that just really, you really cut out all of like the BS when you are a nomad with people. Mm-hmm. I just feel like you get deep so quick with other nomads.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I feel like especially too, probably with kids and, you know, like imagine you were back in your old lives and you're working and you've got the kids and then it's like so routine and schedule and bus schedule, you know, like daycare and this and that and like, you don't really have time to, like, make friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's not high on the list of things. Whereas when you live in a, you know, a nomadic way. Yep. Like, you guys were just at Schoolypalooza. I'm sure you met, like, tons of new people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing that I find really interesting, too, is that, like, right now, in this group of people, you two are the only ones with kids.
Yeah.
And it still seems like you click really well with everybody and, like, that you're, you know, you're still getting out and doing the things and hanging out with them. But at the same time, you have to have, like, your own space and time for your kids. Do you find it, like, a little more difficult? Or, like, tell us your perspective on it.
We're planning on eventually having everyone just communally raise them. So, like, we're trying to train everyone up. No, we actually, so we traveled for a couple months with another bus family, Sunny Diaries, JP and Lindsay. And they have two kids as well. And we almost, they were pretty much set on coming in this caravan, but just with like work stuff and a little apprehension around Baja, they didn't make it. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of a bummer, especially for Everest, because he literally at Schoolypalooza, they were there. They played 6 hours of the day, and that was awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But
I did notice him walk up to a girl on the beach.
Yeah.
And he seemed so excited to see another kid. And he like walked up and, you know, with the adults, he is kind of, like, a little bit shy, but, like, still super cool. Like, he likes to do his own thing.
Yeah.
He kind of likes to tell the adults right now, like, no.
Yeah.
Like, this is my thing right now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm my own, you know.
That's
but, like,
definitely him.
Seeing him walk over to the other little girl and, like, go up and, like, wave.
I know.
And he didn't even know her, it seemed like. I don't know if he did or not.
No.
But he went over and he waved to her, and it was super cute. But it, like, goes to show, like, that the little kids out on the road are kind of, like, outgoing and, like, looking for their community.
They find
as well.
Each other.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, they see another kid and they're like, okay, it's another kid. I got to get on this right away. It's so true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And in this setting, it's great for us because, like, it's like you compare it to the neighbor, like in our old format. In no way do we put them down at 8:30 and then do a podcast afterwards or like play board games afterwards.
Yeah.
Like we're able to, like, because our houses in this neighborhood is like so close together, we can still kind of like scratch that social itch on like the parent side of things. Now it would be even better, say, if like the Whites were here as well, where like Everest had more of a daily opportunity to have socialization. And it's something we care a lot about and look for, and maybe we'll meet another family down here in Baja. Hopefully we will. That we'll be able to have more like daily interaction with. But it's great for the parents right now in this format because we can hang out with like so many people at any time during and after the day. But hopefully Evie will find someone to hang out with.
Yeah, and like you guys said, it is really rare to have like lots of social opportunities as an adult. Everyone knows like making friends as an adult is weird, but like in these settings you become friends really quick, so it does really feel like Everest is surrounded by like a lot of adults that like you trust like right off the bat. Even though he may not have as much of a social aspect, it has been really nice for us to be able to get out and do stuff.
And I would even think that he picks up on the social cues of the adults as
Totally.
Oh, today he left the bus. Alex was on top of his rig with his little mop cleaning his solar panels. He's like, Alex. And he literally says, are you cleaning your truck? He's just
so
like
cute.
Talking to Alex up on his rig. It was funny.
Yeah, that's so cute.
Well, I think too, like van life comes in seasons, even for us on the road. Like sometimes we'll be like completely solo, just the two of us for like weeks, months, whatever. And then you're like, oh my God, other human beings. And then you're in a caravan, you're doing this thing. And like, so I think, you know, for you guys, it'll probably ebb and flow like that too. It's like sometimes you've got the whole, you know, family, kid, like socialization thing going on, and then sometimes not. But I think it makes you appreciate the different times more.
Totally. Yeah. Our first year was just like
We were completely alone the first year.
So we had no nomadic experience. No one in the family had RVs or vans or anything. We didn't know like meetups like were a thing. We're just like, we're gonna go to this national park and that one. And we meet someone kind of for a little bit, but our first year we never had anything.
Our
like
first in person nomadic friends were Devin and Bree. They're the first people that we did anything with. And it's another testament to how quickly you become friends. We had Devin and Bree at his family's house in Oregon within 2 weeks of meeting them, spending the night in his family's house, getting together with his parents and everything as if we had known each other for years. So it really is really cool.
I mean, they're the people that you're talking about are awesome people.
Yeah.
So I could totally see why that would work so
they're
quick.
They're also like the glue in the nomadic community. We can tell like so many people are connected by them. And as we're meeting you guys, how you like in the van community, like seem like know everyone that we come up with.
Yeah. 3 years doing it. I mean, you get to know a lot of people when you go to meetups and things like that. Actually, speaking of families, there's actually another family on this beach right now that we know.
Oh, yeah. We'll introduce you to them tomorrow. They're, never say someday. They've been on the podcast.
They've been on
before.
The podcast, too.
Their boys are a little bit older,
Older. But, like, kids are kids, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know, I think they're... I want to say they're, like...
They're, like, this tall.
10 and 13 or something like that. They're a little bit older.
Okay.
But, like...
But they were in a van for a long time with the two boys and them in a van that was smaller than ours.
Good for them.
And then they upgraded to the Airstream.
Yeah, they have an Airstream right there. So if you saw the Airstream on the beach down there a little ways, I don't know if you made it that far, but they're like, across the sink road, you know?
Right.
Like, across the soft sand there.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, there was like some kind of like a family get together or something on the beach. I didn't realize what it was, but most of the kids looked older. I didn't know what it was.
So, you mentioned that nobody you knew was in the van life community. You didn't know anybody in your family, anything like that. So let's go back to the beginning and like, what inspired you to be like, we're just gonna like ditch everything and buy this RV and get on the road?
Yeah. So, in short, it was Oregon. It was Oregon's fault. So Blake is from Oregon, and we would go quite a bit to Oregon. We used to go all the time, and we went in March of the March after the pandemic, actually. But we also did a really long road trip in a small car with my sister, her husband, and her daughter, plus Blake, me, and Everest was a baby at the time. So we had six people in one 7-seater car. And we towed a little like trailer, not like a camping trailer, but like a trailer to put
like
stuff in.
Oh, yeah.
And we went from Texas to Oregon.
And all these places we're visiting from is we're in Dallas at the time visiting Oregon.
Because
a job brought us there for like 5 years.
Because you guys met in New York, yeah?
Yeah, we met in New York.
Yeah, if we want to map all this out, it's like New York is a meeting place. We got married in Arizona. We lived in like Utah for a time. And then ended up in Texas is like the SparkNotes version. So.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe we're kind of, we're permanent, but that was
nomadic. It seems like you're nomadic. Yeah, yeah. It seems like in your heart, you're nomadic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or even just like open to change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because for some people that would be like, oh my God, like a cross country move is just like not happening.
But like Dallas was our like move of like high octane job. We bought a house, had the picket fence, dogs, like the roots were going deep. When we lived in Dallas.
Yeah.
And we'd make these kind of trips back to Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we got this kind of like wanderlusty, like, because Dallas, like, if anyone's listening from Dallas, we love it to death. It's a close place in our heart. But like, from like a nature standpoint, it was just, we knew that was not going to be the place.
Mm-hmm.
So Oregon would always remind us of like, we want mountains.
Is the house that you sold, the YouTube video that you guys made, the house that you sold, was that in Dallas?
Dallas.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, you guys, if you want to know more about that, go check out the YouTube videos. We'll leave, like, a link in the description below. But, yeah, it was a beautiful home, it looked
Thank
like.
Thank you.
And I could see why Dallas might, you know, hold a real, like, close place to you.
It's where the family started.
Yeah.
It was just us when we went in, and we left with Bo, Tater, Lily, our dogs. And Everest and we were pregnant with Olaya.
Yeah.
So we acquired our family in Dallas.
Yeah. We always say that Dallas is our favorite and least favorite place we've ever lived at the same time because our best friends are in Dallas. My family's in Dallas. We bought our first home in Dallas. We loved that house. We had our family in Dallas. We lost our first baby in Dallas and we had our first child Earthside in Dallas. A lot of things happen in Dallas, so we love it.
Mm.
But we didn't enjoy doing things in Dallas, if that makes sense. And that was something that was, like, important for us. We kind of felt like if we're going to raise a family, we want them to have these things that were really important mentally for Blake and I, which was, like, nature and all of that, which is why when COVID all happened, we took that long road trip with my sister and her husband to Oregon. We spent about a month there. And we loved it. It was amazing. Like, everyone was just having, like, the best time. We were at his family's house. So we were just really enjoying nature. We were able to, you know, quote, quarantine while we were there.
Yes.
And we had each other. Plus, we had nature. And we were like, we would not have had this otherwise. So then.
Yeah, it was kind of like
just
our.
Just about what, exactly.
What part of Oregon were you in? Just
Central Oregon.
Okay.
Yeah,
Bend area.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're probably seeing, like, quite a few vans and buses kind of come through Bend.
Not even then.
At the time,
like,
nothing.
I guess this is 2020.
We go, it's like very basic of like.
Wait, what year is this?
2020.
This is 2020.
We were there.
And
you didn't see us?
No, it's just interesting because
we did the car trip, we're not even thinking like vehicles and nomadic stuff. We're just like, we went to a place.
Wait,
like,
actually, we have to rewind. That's not true.
Oh, yeah, we did
kind
of
make that. That's how we saw Steven's family's RV.
Yeah, so,
and
like,
we were like,
was,
we should have done it in an RV. And that was, like, the
we should have done
time.
That, like, temporary trip, but that was, like, none of this was in the forefront of our mind. It was just, like, we, like, I was working probably 60 to 70 hours a week, and it was really high pressure. It was a great job, obviously, but, like, I was running on the hamster wheel of like work and with like the infertility stuff going on at the same time or not. That wasn't at the same
time,
like it was all of this bottled together.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we had that trip to Oregon, we had Everest by then. It was like kind of our head was above the clouds for a moment where we could just press like the reevaluate button. Like, what do we actually want to get out of this life that we're living? Like very bare bones, like, self-questioning.
Mm-hmm.
We can keep on this road and make a ton of money and go in whatever, you know, direction there, or we could just kind of like see what we want. And still at that point, nomadic life wasn't on the table, but it was like allowing it to like enter the chat, so to speak.
It's where the door opened, because we kind of looked at each other and we were like, okay, we already kind of have like the 40-year-old version of what our life might look like. You know what I mean? Like, we have a house, we have a yard, we have dogs, we have a kid.
Suburban life
cycle. We live
in
a neighborhood.
Yeah.
the city is about 15 minutes away. You know, we live in the suburbs. We go out on the weekends with our friends, get a babysitter. Mm-hmm. That's about it.
You were living a very, very, like, picturesque, typical. Yeah. Like, United States style life.
Yeah. We were living the American dream, right? Mm-hmm. And it was, we were not satisfied. That's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. For this Oregon trip, we had now gone for a long extended period of time, like 2 or 3 times at this point. So when we went in March of 2021, and the turnover is literally crazy. When we talk to other nomads, they're like, wait, we thought you were going to say you made this decision in March of 2020. We were like, no, we went in March of 2021. We went back to Oregon and we spent about a month there at his parents' house. And that's when we said, what are we really getting out of this other than like having all the things that you're told you're supposed to have? Mm-hmm. High paying job, big house, yard. Whatever. And we were like, hey, it's not as fun as we thought it was going to be. You know, maybe not fun, but we didn't feel as satisfied as we thought we were going to be.
So it kind of sounds like to me you're having this out of body experience because you have a moment to breathe, right?
Yes.
And you have a moment to reevaluate.
Yeah.
And you do that, and then you realize that, like, in a way, you're lacking some type of adventure or, like, a wanderlust or a meaning in life,
All of those things. And all of like those adjectives.
The change that you highlighted is, it was kind of, like, stirring within us, like, again and more. And, like, when the curtains close at the end of the day, whatever way you believe they close, we can all agree that they do eventually close.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what did we... And we call it... We actually called it a deathbed decision.
Hmm.
When you are on your deathbed, if we could, like... proverbially go there now and make this decision for us backward in time, what would be that decision we made? And it became obvious to us at that point.
I feel like at some point, like, it's like looking down the barrel of a gun of your life, because like being in that position, I feel like I had that and you had that. It's like I could do this for the next 20 years and those 20 years will just like disappear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, you look up and you're like, I've already been in this job 5 years. I've already been in this job 10 years. Like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
And you're like, the next 20 years are going to go by just as quickly.
Yeah.
And am I doing something that I really actually want to be doing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so true. And that's what Blake did. He turned to me and he was like, I'm just not sure that I want to be a consultant forever. And I was like, okay, well, what do you want to do? And then the brainstorming really started, and that's where the turnover gets really, really quick. We decided we wanted something more to our lives in March. We kind of had, we actually used to have this huge chalkboard in our house. I'm sorry, this huge whiteboard in our house. And so we drew, like, a chart on it. We were like,
of, like,
this is option A. We keep our house, Blake quits his job, and
how do we pay for the house?
Exactly. We lose everything.
Great plan. So, let's go with option
one. That is not it.
Yeah, we're like, okay, option A, out.
And there's also like a startup on the table, like maybe it's, you know, maybe it's a different career.
Yeah, yeah.
So we like can do the startup. How could we like have time to be able to do that? And
so option B. And then option C, we were saying, like, I could work for a little bit and he could figure out what he wanted to do. There was lots of options. Yeah. And to the shock of everyone in our lives, I, being known as someone who maybe was high maintenance in another life, was like, well, what if we could, we did decide, like, we either want to move to Oregon or it would be cool if we could travel full time. Like, we were like, we'd love to travel. That was one thing that was, like, on the options.
Mm-hmm.
And so we either wanted to move to Oregon or travel. That's what the whiteboard came down to, those two things. So I was like, what if we could travel but do it, like, in a way less expensive way? Because we really thought, like, if we sell our house, we could, like, travel internationally, you know, picturesque bucket list family style. And we were like, we'll run through our money in like 6 months. Like, we could sell the house and make $200,000 and be out of it in a couple years traveling that way, not even in a year. So we I said to Blake, I was like, what if, like, can you travel in an RV? Like, what if we traveled in an RV? And he looked at me, I've never seen this man's eyes bigger in my life. He looked at me, he's like, would you do that? Like, in the utmost shock. And I was like, well, it's worth, looking at. Yeah. And that's how it started.
Well, what's amazing to me is that you saying that at one point in time, you're very high maintenance, yeah. right? And and Blake, from what it seems like, from what we talked about in previous conversations, not here, but like, kind of sounds like you could be a ski bum. You know what I mean? Like, no problem at all. So
Blake would live in a tent on the ski mountain.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, the reason why I got into this lifestyle was because of skiing and snowboarding. Like, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to travel all these different mountains. So it's very in, you know, the nature of the ski bum to say, I'll live in a trailer next to a mountain or travel in an RV and go to places that I want to go mm-hmm. and adventure. So I can understand why your eyes are, you know, super big. Yeah. I'm like, wait, is this a real possibility?
Yeah, we're talking I had a nail appointment every week.
Oh, okay.
It was not... I went from that to I haven't washed my hair in 16 days at this point. So, no one judged me, but that's real life.
No judgment at all. No judgment at all. I mean, there was definitely times where we went, you know, 10 days or more without a shower. So don't judge us.
Yeah. No judgment here. We live the life now. And
What made that idea like pop into your head? Like just seeing that one couple or like family that you'd seen
it
on the road?
It
believe it was seeing it on the whiteboard of like, we could see like what would allow us to do this to be free of like the 60 hours a week. Also like, not go broke, but also like have family time and maybe develop an idea while we did that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do something what would allow that? And we were literally brainstorming like, do we like live with your parents for a year and try and figure
and
things out?
And travel on the weekends
Do we live with family and try and figure it out? It's like, oh, but we don't want to live with family and just like burden.
That's not very adventurous.
So, because of all that, Aaliyah's like, what if we got an RV? It, like, literally just spilled out of
her mouth. Never been in a bus, a schoolie, or a van, ever.
I even knew what a schoolie was. We didn't even know what a schoolie was.
Didn't even know what it was. And I had been in one RV in my entire life. So we really, when we started looking into this, we thought that this was the only option.
Yeah.
And then we started watching, like, Eamon and Beck and Kara and Nate and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, like, obviously got introduced into, like, the different nomadic styles. But because we were making such a huge transition, we always say we decreased by like exactly 90%. Our house was 3,000 square feet. This is 300. So this felt like a huge change. Mm-hmm. And now we're like, we could do a van. Like I'll get rid of stuff all day.
Now you can go another decrease.
Yeah. We'll see what the percentage basis is on that.
Well, you're talking 300 square feet to 70 square feet.
I know.
Like it's a big difference.
I know.
And it's kind of wild because like, you know, now that you have that opportunity to like downsize and feel what it feels like to minimalize, like get rid of things that you didn't need, and the fact that you're saying that you could do it again speaks volumes for what the lifestyle kind of did for you.
Oh yeah.
Especially like you were saying, once again, being that high maintenance, like I think like for me, I'm not that high maintenance at all. And it was hard for me to get rid of things.
Yeah.
You're just a pack rat.
Yeah.
He's not high maintenance. He's like, these 18 cords that I don't know what they plug into.
Let's put them in a baggie and just...
They're very important. And what if we
Literally yesterday, I think he picked something up off the ground. And he was like, do you know what this goes to? And I was like, it looks broken. He's like, well, should we keep it just in case we find the thing it broke off? I was like, no, Blake, throw it away.
It has a hole.
What are you talking about?
Because it happens once a year. We're like, oh, this little piece chipped off. Now it doesn't click together. Where's the piece?
Right. Yeah. No, I just throw away both pieces and call it a day.
But my ADD wouldn't allow me to even find the piece had I found a home for it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It might as well just be thrown away.
Gotcha. Right. One thing I found interesting for like me was... Once I started to get rid of those things, it became easier. Once I seen, like, the thing go away, I was like, okay, I think I could deal with this.
Yeah.
But it was still like, I think I could deal with it.
Yeah. I went from having, like, one of our spare bedrooms in our house. This is embarrassing to admit. We called it the beauty room. The whole entire closet was my makeup, hair products, and like skincare products. Plus, I used the closet for my additional clothes that didn't fit into our walk-in closet.
Yeah.
To now, I'm like, I have three drawers.
We don't have a beauty room
like,
on board.
Yeah. And our closet is literally like maybe the length of like my forearm. Like that's all the space we have, and it's amazing. Like I'm like, How did I even have more clothes?
So what did you do with all that stuff? Was it in a storage locker somewhere? Did you sold it and donated it?
My like beauty room stuff. Yeah, I got rid of it. Yeah. I got rid of all my clothes. I probably have like a box of like my favorite stuff. But no, I got rid of everything. Wow.
What was the hardest thing for each one of you to get rid of?
Getting my nails done.
Yeah. Okay. Like a physical thing.
It could be physical. It could be like a physical thing or a mental thing. But obviously for her it was like that luxury of getting the nails
going
done.
Going and just doing something.
That's
for
a very
me.
New York thing, by the way.
Right.
It's a very New York
thing.
Thank
you. I'm from Queens. Yeah. Shout out Queens.
I would say physical thing we actually brought with us initially because we could fit it, and you'll be surprised to know it was a 300 not XR, it was a KTM dirt bike.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, we actually could bring it.
Yeah,
because we have the space in the back.
Yeah,
is
yeah,
that
you
where?
Have a little
but
deck,
that's where
right?
your bedroom is.
Yeah,
so
we could still fit it because the bed goes up.
Right,
we have a
Murphy like,
bed. Yeah,
but it was just it was too much having it,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, we're gonna sell it. And so like, I actually held on to it, and then. Just realized that I was never using it, even though I thought we're gonna travel all over. And
mm-hmm.
her dad actually got me into like trail riding and stuff.
Cool.
I like going fast, like full, skiing,
yeah,
dirt biking,
adrenaline.
So like getting rid of that, and I remember just like selling to the guy, being like, "Take care of her."
Yeah, yeah, that's my baby.
Yeah. No, that thing is honestly, it's way up there because he went riding and I was legitimately 9 months pregnant and he flew off a cliff on that thing while I was pregnant and was like, you're listing it on Facebook. Like,
now.
Goodbye.
Over.
You
goodbye.
Survived? Time to list that
yes.
shit.
Yeah.
You got one life. You know what kind of
thing.
I can see him reminiscing. Like, I know they can't see this, so I'm going to explain what's happening. Blake's like looking down, like, damn, I missed that bike.
He does.
Like, I can see it in his eyes. It's kind of funny because it did throw you like off the handlebar, over the handlebars, like off a cliff
dangerous.
Or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
I kept riding that same day. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, kudos to you. That I'm the same type
He's
of person.
Nuts.
I would have, if as long as nothing was like completely broken, I'm getting up and riding also.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it's that idea of like your life could just been.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And
but it was
kids.
Time. Like, I have a second kid now. I probably will be more into mountain biking if we ever, like, live near a mountain than
mm-hmm.
one with a motor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of done with it.
Mm-hmm. So, speaking of kids, what were some of the kind of considerations, you know, coming into the RV? You only had one at the time. You didn't know you were going to have two. But, like, what were you thinking for Everest in terms of, like, what does he need? And what are we trying to, like, make sure that we have for him?
Yeah, that was a huge decision. Go ahead. That was
we bought this floor plan because of the four kids we had at the time.
Mm-hmm.
One two-legged, three four-legged children. Mm-hmm. That whole like garage space in the back and the deck was to be able to make this life survivable and have three dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And it originally was just more of an open space before it was our bedroom where the dogs could hang out inside and have the deck outside.
Mm-hmm.
And then what do you know, it had a loft above them for Everest. So like the whole like living space was really decided based off of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of that changed when Aliyah came into the picture.
And then that's obviously the physical side.
Yeah,
which
that
was
physical
a
preparation.
Huge, that was a huge decision maker on this rig. And then emotionally, I mean, we just think to ourselves, like, how many children are there out there that have mom and dad home with them 24/7?
Not many.
You talk about their developmental years, and there's not that many. Most of them are probably nomads, you know?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And we
or you
just,
maybe get one parent.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yep. And Everest has both of us literally all the time. In fact, he's probably over-satiated with us. He's like, why are you guys always here?
Like, get off my back.
Yeah, honestly.
But what's awesome about that is you play a huge role in developing who he is as a person, you know, later on in life. I mean, obviously, he's going to make a lot of decisions for himself.
Yeah.
But you're influencing those things, you know, and a lot of there's... there is a, you know, there's a lot of kids that don't get that opportunity to have that, you know, really unique bond with their parents. Mm-hmm. And a lot of kids lack this, and a lot of the time that turns into, you know,
acting out
or doing something, you know, in their later life that just, it solidifies for a bad life for them after that, you know, so it's a really good opportunity here. Yeah,
thank you.
For you guys and for him.
Yeah,
you
know? No, it's so true. We just kind of feel like we know he's not going to remember a lot of this. I mean, obviously, if we continue to do it, he will. But we always say, like, we're 100% sure, like, his soul will, like, his spirit will. We're pretty much, like, making it a part of his brain. We feel like we're hardwiring both of our children to have, like, adventure and freedom and living outside of the norm as their norm. Like, to them, this is normal. To them, being free and having your parents around and exploring and being out in nature. You guys know Everest wears clothes about 10% of the time.
Yeah, I was joking around with him the other day, like, yo, dude, you're supposed to be wearing clothes on this
And
beach.
He's like, no.
He was like, I'm not putting clothes on. Like, okay, dude, you do what you want.
Yeah, we'll see how maybe he'll make it to 5 or 6.
Yeah, maybe that's
so good. He's like 14. Yeah, he's 14, like walking around.
I'll be
the
real
beach.
With you. I was a nature boy too.
Yeah.
I was the little boy walking
as
around.
You should be.
Either in my underwear or no clothes.
Yep.
Yeah.
And yes. So we just feel like we're really just making it a part of their identity to be free, for lack of a better word.
It's
and,
awesome.
And we love that. It feels good. You feel like you're at least doing one thing right by your kids. You know, we're going to mess them up in other ways, I'm sure. But
and it's such, like, we could go in, like, for so long about, like, what are the challenges of having kids
Let's
on the
do
road.
It.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch, but, like, it's so overwhelmed by the fact that, like, we have all these times in between and precious moments. Like, actually, when we pulled in here a week or two ago, while Aleja was still setting stuff up, I was kind of with the kids, and I took Olaya down to the beach, who's starting to learn how to walk, and I was just like holding her little hands at sunset, and Everest was running around me like in the waves.
Cute, yeah.
And there was actually a woman down the beach that took a video of us.
Awesome.
And said, like, that moment was so precious. I have to send you this video I took of you guys.
Beautiful.
I didn't even have my phone with me. I didn't feel the need, but like someone saw kind of objectively that like moment you have with your kids on the road, and they, not knowing me, felt the need to capture it.
That's awesome.
And there's so many of those that are just like so impossible to explain. Our goal is to show that this life is doable, possible, but really enjoyable with kids to other nomads that don't have kids.
Okay, but like really though, I feel like parents like to paint this beautiful brush, and I had like some tears in my eyes thinking about you guys down at the beach.
Yeah.
But what are the hard things? Because I feel like parents are like, yeah, have kids, join the club. And then when you join the club, they're like, ha ha ha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Fuck you guys.
Gotcha, bitch.
Yeah. Should we count to three and like say our answers?
Yeah, let's do it.
Now, I mean, there are.
You
the,
count to three. We'll
there
see.
Are the same hard things that you would have in real life. It's just a little slower in this pace. You know what I mean? Like, it's slower paced.
All right, so we're going to go with one, like, one hard thing, and I'm going to count three, and I want you both to say what the hard thing is. Can you get something in your mind first?
Okay.
Three, two, one.
Time management.
Oh, it's basically the same exact thing.
Yeah.
Alone time management, and yeah, I can see that being really difficult.
Well, because, you know, it's a blessing to be with your kids 24/7, but then it's also, like, when do you get your nails done?
Yes.
Or when do you have, like, your moments together as a couple? And when do you get to, like, go for a nice
when
dinner?
When do you go
or
to the
you...
bathroom?
Yeah. What's interesting,
they're
right though,
there.
Yeah. What's interesting is you both have that same feeling, which is great because that means you're on the same page.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a really good place to be because then you could, like, discuss that.
Well, it's good for your relationship too.
And
because
could,
if one of you felt that way and the other one was like, it's great.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
And I, even being like here on this beach, like we highlighted earlier, right now in this group, we're the only ones with kids. It makes that juxtaposition makes us see even more all this time that people have to like relax, like read a book or like kind of like just hang out, play board games and like, or play like Jam Can. What's it called?
Can Jam.
Can Jam.
Yeah. Jam Can.
I sound like Jam Can. I'm gonna play Jam Can.
So it's like we're kind of looking. We're looking out our window while one of us is like we split work time and watching kid time. So like
yeah.
We have FOMO. 4-hour shifts during the
yeah,
day.
Yeah, major like. FOMO. It's like, we were even driving the car, like, would you imagine what we could just do with our day in the world of, like, relaxing and being more effective?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We were in the car. Evie was, like, kicking my seat. Yeah. And Blake and I were like, we imagine we were driving out of this beach and we were driving by, like, all the rigs. And, like, there was, like, couples were, like, the two guys were, like, playing Frisbee. The girls were, like, tanning and reading a book. And then, like, mm-hmm. these other girls were doing, like, a group workout. And they invite you. You're like, sorry, like, you're doing the workout, right? Like, when the baby has to go down for her nap. And, like,
bout of
diarrhea. Everest is doing, like, learning time or whatever. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
We're just like, man, what would life be like if we were on this beach in Mexico and, like, we're by ourselves? Of course we think about what it would be like, you know?
Yeah.
It's totally different.
And I will say, like, you're not missing much. Like, you're, like...
Well, there's always,
I say,
like, the FOMO.
The reason why I say
know,
you're not missing
yeah.
much is because I'd be the one having FOMO, too.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's just the personality,
I feel
right?
like you'll be the one just doing the stuff and I'll be in the van, like...
Fucking yeah, she will. She'll be cursing me out. But, like, But I'll also be like, hey... Let me watch the kid, you know, go do something for yourself. Like, I will do that. Yeah, you know, like...
It's
like,
a can jam.
Yeah, right? Like, come on,
baby. Sorry, I'm just,
it's
like,
can
really
jam.
Deep in this jam cam.
Yeah. And I know for Alex, like, the thing she wants to do is read that book. You
yeah.
know what I mean? And
me
like,
too.
Yeah, yeah. And no matter what it is that you want to do, you have to figure out that time management to, like, get to that point, mm-hmm. right? And that's probably... super hard with two kids.
Yeah, it's really
and three
hard.
Dogs.
Yeah.
Like, because those
yeah.
dogs need attention, too.
Yeah. You sit down to try to do something that you just got, like, the kids settled, and then Bo is yiping because he just got his leg tangled in the long leash.
Yeah.
Which is why, like, this, also with the caravanning side, there are pros and cons to it. We haven't caravanned that much. We traveled with that one family. But we go pretty remote. Like, mm-hmm. that's one thing I feel like that sets us aside from, like, RVers. We always say we're an RV on the outside, but we're, like, a van or a schoolie on the inside.
Yeah,
because,
we never
like,
go to RV parks.
At
yeah.
Like, we've been to an RV park once, and that was because our power, like, our solar was mm-hmm. messing up. So we go really, really, really remote, and our dogs are pretty much free. Our
yeah.
dogs are one with nature as well.
Yeah.
And so that makes the dog management a little bit easier because... they will always come back. They go around the area for hours.
Hang
they get satiated, and then they come back. They
mm-hmm.
come right back, and then they really do hang around right here. But here, being so tight with a
and
bunch of other
so
nomads,
there's so
many
dogs. Not just, like, mm-hmm. us. There's probably, like,
yeah.
50 other
yeah.
rigs on the beach.
I won't lie.
With
you,
dogs. So
you
there's,
got,
what, 50 other dogs?
Yeah.
You know? So it's too hard.
You made me feel a little bad in the sense of, like, I feel like I should have donated a little bit of my time to be like, hey... can I, like, throw the ball for the dogs
oh,
for you or something?
Yeah.
Like, no, but that's, like, the way I'm thinking. Like,
yeah.
damn, man, I wish I could have gave him, like, a little bit more time.
Well, you know
oh,
what
yes.
you're doing
tomorrow. Yeah.
Tomorrow I'm going to be like, hey, can I throw the ball
now
for the dogs?
Is not
well, yeah,
you're
I mean, then
sweet.
that's what it is, though. It's like, you know, we are a community of people, and if we know these things,
yeah.
not everybody's going to, like, jump on board and do it. But, yeah. but, like, there might be some people in the community or the crew that are like, like, I'm going to be walking out here anyway. I could throw a ball for your dogs.
That's sweet. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
And
you know
that's
what I'm
what's
saying?
Really sweet is, like, there's people like you in the world that we get to come across that would be willing to do something like
yeah.
that. But, no, there are definitely pros and cons. And you have FOMO no matter what.
Yeah.
Like, overall, I feel like our mission statement has been, like, you can do it. Like,
mm-hmm.
as cheesy as that is, like, we have so many friends that are like, so how is it? We can tell there's, like, this curiosity in their eyes. That, you know, that are living a traditional life, and we're just like, you can do it. Like,
mm-hmm.
you really can. It's doable, and of course there are lows, but it is like a G-force roller coaster. The
yeah.
lows are freaking low. You have to go to the ground to go low.
Yeah.
But then next thing you know, you're freaking in space. Like,
mm-hmm.
it, the highs are so high.
The beach moment, yeah.
So you
yeah.
just forget that the lows are even there, you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like,
and
of course, that's not to, like, gaslight yourself. Like, no, everything's fine. This is great. I'm living
in Mexico
right now. The lows
will find their way back, yeah.
Of course.
But you need the lows to feel the highs. And
exactly.
you need the highs to feel the lows.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's
and
just part of life. Like, you know, not, like,
And you would want your overall picture of your life to be positive.
Yeah. Correct.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, everybody's got shit going on. But, like, if you look at your whole life like it's a trash fire, then, like, probably something needs to change.
Yeah.
It's so true. To sum it all up, I would say kids amplify both.
Mm-hmm.
The highs are higher, the lows are lower.
Yeah.
And if I were to have another, like, if we did the 3-2-1 experiment again, my second word would have been travel day.
Travel day.
Those are hard.
So, like, there's nothing to do with anything Instagram on our travel day. Like, we have a big, beautiful bay window out front. That's about it on travel day.
Yeah.
But, like, getting all of the things we need, because especially off-grid, you got to get water. We have to get propane. Mm-hmm. All the things, grocery shop, get it all ready in between. I mean, that's why we made a YouTube video on this. It's just a hot mess.
Yeah.
And with kids, like,
I need to learn how to drive this so that I can have a break, because on travel day we have to break down travel.
Yeah, she's
and
like
then
the
while we're on the road, I'm literally like the errand boy. Mommy, can I have a snack? And then 2 minutes later, and you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna kill myself.
Blake, get out of the driver's seat.
I'm driving.
Even though I don't know how to drive this thing. Yeah. I'm driving.
It's a straightaway, great.
Yeah.
Travel day 9 times out of 10, like, we'll be going at each other.
It's just high stress, because I feel like even just with a rig this size, there's so much to do just to, like, pack the rig up.
Yeah.
So, like, you wake up bright and early to, like, put everything away and put all the stuff away. And then you got to put everything away inside of the house so that it's not, like, flying around while you drive. And then, so even just that part of it is, like, a thing.
Yeah.
And then to deal, you know, to add the kids and the dogs and everybody in here, and then you got to run the errands, and you got to go to town, and then you got to drive 5 hours, then you got, you know.
And because we do this to ourselves by not going to an RV park that's like, ooh, we had reservations, and you just pull right in spot 22 or whatever. It's like, we can't see at night, and we're pulling into a forested place that we found on this was on iOverlander.
Yeah.
It's like, we can't see a thing. Let's turn around. Let's go to Walmart. And then you go to Walmart, like, say, in California, then you get kicked out at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And you've got two kids to wake up to put more in a driving position.
Yeah.
And then you just, like, then you're at a point of, like, was it worth it?
And I would say to you guys, like, one thing that I do is I try not to drive at night. But here's the thing, is that when you have the two kids and you have all the stuff going on, you're probably stopping more. Your intentions are to not drive at night, but then you get stuck driving at night because you don't have a choice.
And in the winter, it's tougher. In the summer, we weren't running into it as much, but, I mean, 5 o'clock comes quick.
Yeah, especially when you have all the things going on of the day.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like you're like, we're only driving 2 hours.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because when we were driving in Alberta and British Columbia, it wouldn't get dark till 10:30, and we're like, this is amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Alaska summers. That's where it thrives.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Alaska summers doesn't get dark till like midnight is like when
Alaska.
The sun's going down. Just summers though.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's super dark the whole winter.
True.
But at least then you have like that opportunity to like, you could be up at 3 o'clock in the morning and the sun, like it's still, it's not, the sun's not up, but it's like
dusky.
And you can see everything. And so it's like, I think you guys would thrive there.
But then we realize you get kind of kicked in the nuts again, because sure, you got there in the daylight, but now your kids don't want to go to sleep because it's daylight. And now that free time that we have, that's 8:30 to bedtime, is now gone.
Yeah.
Because they're looking at the sun in the sky at like 9 o'clock, not getting tired.
Really good blackout.
So
bring them inside, black it all out, you know?
And he'll look. We do have a shade that goes down, but then one time he looked, he's like, Daddy, it's still daytime.
He's like, it's dark.
Yeah. So hopefully we've provided some level of challenge that comes with family nomadic life.
Yeah. So do you think that, you know, these lessons and these challenges that you're coming up are going to change the way that you travel at all in the future?
It's a really good question.
That is a good question.
I think we'll just get better at the inevitable forces of what we call bad things that come at us in unpredictable tiny humans.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just become more savvy. We'll be better planned, like well-rounded on travel day.
Mm-hmm.
We'll know kind of where the defense things are. But I think anyone that's perspective of doing this that has kids or that's going to have kids would be really naive saying like, oh, we're going to learn the things and then defend ourselves well against them, because it's just an inevitable hurricane that will come.
Yeah.
But on the flip side of things, there's sunshine and rainbows and weather too, and you'll just have to like, you really glom onto those.
Yeah. And we've gotten better too as like days have gone on. Like we'll say a lot like, oh, today went like pretty good on travel day, you know. So it ebbs and flows. I feel like things get better or worse. And I feel like as the kids get older and like Evie can help kind of entertain the baby while we're driving, like he'll rattle a toy for her or something, you know. It gets a little bit easier, but like newborn stage and like 2 year old who hates you for having a baby was rough the first couple of times.
Like, I want to be an only child.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
so that's another question I want to get into. What was it like being, because you were on the road while being pregnant with your second, right? So during that time, what was that like?
And let's talk a little bit about healthcare too, because somebody else asked me that question recently. Yeah,
because she was like, I don't want to get off the road, but like, what was healthcare like? Or what's healthcare going to be like? What do you think that picture is?
Yeah.
And so somebody who's experienced it, you could kind of be an expert on this for people.
Sit close to the window. I threw up out the window a couple times on travel days. You know, windy roads. I made the mistake of trying to read that book thinking like, oh, this is my one break. Puke all over the place. But so I just feel like really using the community and your resources. Obviously, I didn't know many people in the community, but like now I feel like anyone out there who is pregnant or thinking about getting pregnant, find other people that like, you know, were pregnant while they were traveling and try to get as much information from them, because I'm happy to help anyone. Like, contact me. I had a midwife in, so my family, has kind of lived all over the U.S. So that like really helped. So they were like, oh, I know my friend so-and-so who's pregnant in Arizona and she had a midwife. Like, let me see if you can go in and see her. And then it turns out that like all of these midwives, whether they're in doctor's offices and hospitals or like standalone or birthing centers, they all are very like interconnected. They like know each other from like trainings and stuff like that. So I was really able to find a midwife in Utah and in California and blah, blah, blah. And they kind of help you find each other and they'll kind of say like, oh, I've heard this place is really good. Oh, you're going to Bend, go here. So I kind of would just call ahead. I would not, hey, we're going to be in, for example, Utah in a couple weeks. We're going to be in Moab and then Salt Lake. Do you have availability in this 2 week window of time? I'm this far along, blah, blah, blah. And you know, then I would go get seen by them. And one of them even came here to the bus. I was seen here in the bus by a midwife. She had a Doppler on her. She took my heart rate. She took the baby's heart rate. Cool. She weighed me. She asked me if I had any questions. Mm-hmm. She looked over some blood work that I had gotten done when I was in Texas. And she was like, oh, you need an iodine supplement. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. Like, that's awesome. It literally was the best experience ever. And I will refer her to anyone. And it actually wasn't expensive. I literally Venmo'd her
$70. Whoa. We definitely need to know more about this stuff. I mean,
and in terms of like the higher equipment, like sonogrammed of it, right?
Yeah, so sonogram, for a sonogram stuff,
like
I
we
paid...
didn't have at the exact time you're supposed to, like we like
I think the 20 week scan I had at 23 weeks. It wasn't that
big. Yeah, like we didn't, it wasn't exact to like if you were like in a house and like
at
20
weeks we were
time.
In the Muir Woods. So I couldn't go to a
sonogram. So we had to like push appointments like according to like availability.
Like they happen, but they happen on a nomadic schedule.
So there's really nothing until that 20 week point that you could really do or that you need to
do. I think you're supposed to go around like 12 weeks.
12 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah, so you're supposed to go, I mean, your very first appointment depending on like which pregnancy. Like when I called my doctor and told her I was pregnant again, she's like, oh, like you can come in at around 12 weeks, but like for my first pregnancy I went in at like 7 weeks or something. You know? So, and that's just, they try to see if there's a heartbeat. There either is or isn't yet.
You don't even
know
yet.
Oh, there's a heartbeat.
So it's
kind of
like, do you even go in that?
Well, they'll confirm. I guess you do like a pee test or whatever.
You pee and they draw blood. The main thing that they check is like iron, and then they'll make sure that you're on a really good prenatal, depending on like your health history or like your blood work. Like I was put on a prescription prenatal because I'm anemic and I have all kinds of like weird kind of health stuff. And so that was pretty much it until 20 weeks. Then you have like the 20 week scan, and there's like these great places. They are literally like chains where you can go. The ones in Utah are called fetal photos, but you just Google like, ultrasound, places anywhere in the U.S. And I literally got them done. I a couple times. So I got like the 20 week, I had 23 weeks. And then I got another one before we left Utah. I think I was like 27 weeks because we were there for about a month. So I got another one. And then, of course, I got like the third trimester scan once we got to Bend. And you just, and that I think was like 100 or like 120 or something. It really was not bad at all. And you get to see the baby, make sure they're healthy. They tell you what, you know, if their brain looks good and then you feel great. And you have these little pictures to look at. I also ordered a fetal Doppler online.
Yeah, we had one
to
on
take
the
little heart rate, you know, to like find everything's the heartbeat. Good. Yeah, just because.
And
I
also, you're probably interested
like
in
have it.
It.
Yeah.
And speaking of heartwarming moments, like we'd put like the jelly on the belly, then Everest would hold the Doppler.
Aww.
And then he would call, we had her name beforehand.
Yeah. Like, it's baby Laya.
It's baby Laya. And hear that.
That's
and
cool.
It was like so magical to see him anticipate a child.
Yeah. That, I mean,
and then he'd like try to listen at my belly. I'd be like, no, you
we'll
have to
show
do
you guys
it.
A video,
thing.
Yeah.
It's really cute.
That's really cute. Yeah.
So then, okay, you have all this prenatal care. Mm-hmm. What was the like birth like?
Yeah, so we stopped in Bend, Oregon. I traveled like the full, I found out I was pregnant in July and we left. Oh yeah, it was. It was the very last week of June.
Oh yeah, you're right.
It was literally, I think, like the last day of June, actually. Yeah.
But well, actually, can we go back to this moment? Because I don't know if we really clarified the timeline of like, you decide to get into the rig. Oh,
April,
I'll
decide.
Do, yeah.
List, talk to realtor in May. List house in June. Leave house
bought,
in August.
Bought this in June.
Oh, bought, yeah. Bought bus in June. Moved out of house in August.
On
pedal
the,
to the metal
on
in
the road.
September.
Yeah. On the road full time.
Yeah. So. And by then you're already like through your first trimester.
I was, I had just, I think the week we left, I was in my second trimester.
So like early April, didn't know what RVing really was or nomad, schooly life, anything. This was April. We were on the road in early September.
Yeah. So
it was an eventful summer.
From going,
oh my gosh, it was,
not knowing anything about it to being fully pregnant.
Yeah.
In the lifestyle.
Yeah.
So like talk about like the biggest challenge that you could probably have in the sense of, you know, getting into a new lifestyle. And then you're also doing it
pregnant.
Yeah. It's a lot of
and,
new.
And in between that, had sold our house.
And quit your job.
Quit
I had
the job.
Stopped working. And it was the craziest change of our environment we could ever imagine.
So
like every realm of our life was changed from April to September.
So you sold the house. So you're using this house sale, I'm guessing, as like a buffer. To
like cash,
keep you on the road, get you going, like
pay for the rig.
Now you have two kids. Like, what is it that you guys do to like keep you on the road?
Well, hey, wait, we gotta get back.
Sorry,
she
back
hasn't
to
had the baby.
Back to the baby. Back to the baby.
So I was pregnant pretty much the entire like for 9 months, and I was just pregnant the whole time we were in this. So I really didn't know any different other than kind of like being sick every once in a while. So we traveled everywhere, Utah, Montana, Idaho, California, Oregon, while I was pregnant. And then we stopped in Oregon to be close to Blake's family, and they had room at their house for us to be in with Everest. They had an extra room for Evie, so we didn't really have to disrupt him too much. And so we stopped in Oregon. We got Oregon insurance. I made an appointment with my Oregon midwife. She was like, why are you making your first appointment and you're 36 weeks? And I was like, because I live in a bus.
And
she was like, cool. And she was like, okay, great. I went in, I was 36 weeks and she's like, okay, well you can have the baby like anytime now safely. So, you know, whenever she comes. So we just kind of waited in Oregon at his parents' house.
And then at that point, you went to an appointment once a week.
Yes, and at 36 weeks, you go to an appointment once a week.
And that was all covered by the Oregon insurance
that
you signed up for.
So
which was like through Obamacare or whatever?
Yeah, it was
the
Oregon health plan.
The state, it's just the state.
Yeah.
It's like
so
California
was,
has a very similar setup.
Yeah. So we were on, it was the Oregon health plan through like Pacific Source Insurance, if anyone's in Oregon and needs to know. And we went to our weekly doctor's appointments, waited for the baby, Everest and Blake did a lot of skiing and while we waited for baby sister. And that was pretty much it. Then we had the baby. And it was at the Oregon Family Birth Center. And it was an awesome experience. My midwife, Jen, is literally an angel on earth. Anyone who needs to go to her in Oregon should do so. She's incredible. She's at Bend Women's Center, I believe, is what it's called. She's fantastic. And the birth experience, it was really crazy. It was a whirlwind. My plan was to go with another unmedicated birth like I did for Everest. We had a few hiccups in the road. So I did end up having to get the epidural, which only half worked. So I feel like I halfway still did an unmedicated birth. But yeah, the baby, was born in her amniotic sac, which was actually a really cool experience. So when they're in the amniotic sac, it's actually called the mermaid's purse. And they say that babies who are born in their amniotic sac have like a really strong affinity for like water. And our baby's name is Olaya, and there's actually a song in Spanish called Olaya, the Queen of the Sea.
Whoa.
So it could not be like a better full circle thing with her. She is just like the coolest little baby.
So she basically come out like a pearl.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
She literally just came out in like a little bag. And then it popped, and that was the thing that happened, which is why her birth had slowed down significantly once my midwife was like, this is a little bit odd, like, the baby should be here by now, but I have a strong feeling, my midwife is incredible, again, she's just kept saying, I have a strong feeling, I shouldn't break your water, I have a strong feeling, I shouldn't break your water, she kept saying that over and over again. Well, once the amniotic sac popped, her umbilical cord was tied around her neck twice. So had they broken the water, the baby would have dropped further, thus causing the umbilical cord to tighten rather than floating in the amniotic water. It keeps it from tight around the neck. And so had she broken her water, the cord would have tightened around her neck as the baby was coming out. And that could have caused, you know, oxygen problems, heart rate issues, you know, etc. So it was just incredible that she just was so intuitive, and she just knew. She was like, I just don't know why. I don't think I should break your water. And thank God she didn't.
And to me, it goes back to the fact that she's like, you know, this little sea creature, you know, like you know, if she did pop it, the water would have been gone, and it wouldn't have saved her life.
Exactly. Yeah, she needed the water. Things could have really gone
bad. And here we are a year later. It's been a year.
And we had her first birthday on the beach.
On the beach. And she was bouncing outside, like, in the water, little feet going in the water.
And what's wild, I'm pretty safe in this assumption, but out of this whole beach and caravan and all the vans and buses, she's the only person that's been a nomad her whole life.
Since, like, conception, actually.
Yeah, she was born in the bus life.
Right.
So. Yeah, from being on the road in the belly to being born into the lifestyle.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah.
We hit the road again when she was 3 months. Yeah. I mean, she's literally been traveling. Well, yeah,
there has to be a time where you're kind of stationary, you know, getting the checkups and things. You can still be stationary in the bus.
People do it, but we were like, let's just, like, stick here to do all, like, the main infancy things. Yeah. And then we would have been way too over our skis, so to speak, had we just, like, left while she's taking care of, like, a week old baby.
So did you go to your parents' house in Oregon during that time, like, the 3 months? And it must have been great having the extra
hands.
They were
probably so happy. Grandparents are very excitable.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's lots of grandparents. It's his dad, his dad's fiance, and then his mom, and then my mom and my dad, and they were coming in and out. My sister came to visit. His siblings came to visit. Yeah. So it was
a very exciting time.
Yeah.
It's a very, very exciting time.
Yeah.
So we have been chatting for a while, but I'll get back to Frank's question about, so how are you, like, paying for this whole endeavor? You know, two kids on the road, family of seven. Like, how are we doing?
Family of seven.
three dogs, you know, you got, they're expensive too.
We, so the sale of the house is really what made all of this possible quickly. We were able just to buy this vehicle cash and even had them some that we still like want for savings and not like spill it out. Mm-hmm.
We've renovated it really slowly though. That was mm-hmm. the one thing. Is yeah. We decided not to gut right away because
and did extra investment in like the solar mm-hmm. and we saved money because we were able to install all that ourselves.
Yeah.
So like we probably wouldn't be able to afford doing RV parks, even though that's not what we want to do anyways. Yeah. And,
it would be a huge draw to the budget.
I would totally get it, especially them in the United States there and Canada. They're so expensive. Yeah.
Yeah. Like maybe once a month just to like, you know, figure like it out if you or need be to plug on the way. In or, but, yeah, but so many of them, you need a reservation like months in advance anyway.
And we're not those type of planners anyway. Mm-hmm. So. But, and then another big component is we switched the breadwinner role. It was me before for all those years in Dallas. And then it switched to Leha. And she, I mean, she can get into it, but she teaches Spanish online. She's had a large Instagram following and experience for a while now, so it makes a good income there.
Yeah. I started Instagram early-ish. I started in, like, 2015, kind of when it was really kind of early. So I feel like I've had a good relationship with brands for a while. So I've been making some money. I don't have a huge following. I have, like, 30,000, which keeps us, you know, making like a stable income month to month. And then my sister and I started a Spanish teaching company, like Blake said, online called Spanish Sisters because we're sisters and we teach Spanish.
Cute, cute, like that.
So it's really fun. I teach like twice a week and I just kind of pack my schedule. Gives me a ton of freedom. I just have like two really busy teaching days and then we're able to adventure the other days. Blake has been working really, really hard on our YouTube channel and on our family Instagram. Mm-hmm. So that keeps him really busy, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I thought I was busier 60 hours a week, but...
You were wrong!
It has been, like, crazy going from this, like, highly intense data analytical world of being an analyst in economic consulting to, like, this creative space, which really has been more my draw, even when I was, like, little. I would say I'm still more of, like, a creative mind than an analytical one. I just kind of made it work in a white collar world. So it's been nice to be able to like spread my wings in something that I've been more passionate about in like storytelling and video creation and film and stuff.
Yeah, I've known Blake since he was 21 and in every like job or like family and friend capacity that we've had, he's always been asked to like make videos, put together like slideshows, music, stuff like that. So it's always been a part of him. Just now he can finally like
So it's been a hobby and now it's like, can we, and even if it doesn't like work out to like, you know, grow this like large channel or whatever, it's been, it's something I intrinsically really enjoy. So it'd be like this kind of journaling that we're making and we'll be able to do it like longer and more dynamically if those things are successful. But if not, then like
I could already say that if not, then the kids have something to look back on later on. Like, it's such a beautiful story and a beautiful opportunity for them to go back and look and, like, see, like, oh, when we were babies, we were traveling. We were in Baja. We were traveling through the States. We were up in Canada. You know, you're just, like, all over these different places that you just wouldn't expect as a kid. Like, or even as, like, a... You know, when you grow up and like, whoa, I've been to so many places. It's just kind of mind-blowing, you know? I think it's a really beautiful thing. If you had any advice for anybody out there, like that it was in a similar situation that you were, like, what would your
words be? With the house and the job and the thing and they're thinking about it.
About getting
in. They've got the kids. Yeah. They're like, I don't know.
Yeah. What would your advice be?
We kind of always, we always say just make the jump, whatever your jump is. We're not the type of people that say,
you have to do what
we're doing. Like, what we're doing is the right thing. But, like, everyone kind of has that, like, jump somewhere in the back of their mind.
Called the twinge.
The twinge.
And, like, let us be a testament to, like, oh, we've got too much going on right now. No one, I think, had it in terms of, like, roots in deep in the ground, had them deeper than us with, like you said, the house.
Our
the
best
job.
Friends are in Dallas. My sister,
everything
my
was
parents.
Just like super deep roots, but we had the twinge that was strong enough to the point where like we're people that were just willing to change everything in a span of 4 months
mm-hmm.
to, like, do it because life's too short.
Yeah.
And you hear that a lot.
And it definitely seems like you do not regret a second of it. And I feel like that we're super thankful for having you guys on the podcast. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah.
I feel like this is a friendship that hopefully lasts a lifetime.
Yes.
And, you know, with the new additions that we might have into this world, you know, hopefully we get to hang out and experience some of that together as well.
Yeah, our dogs can socialize.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
You can give us tips on dogs in this lifestyle.
Exactly. Paco can play with our kids anytime.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Okay, well, once again, we appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. And yeah, that's it.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. We hope that you guys have an FNA day.
Make sure you subscribe to their YouTube channel, FNA Van Life. Over all that.